Well, good day, friends. Welcome to my daily update video. Trust you well, wherever you are at. I'm recording this one on a Wednesday in my own hometown here, my adopted hometown of Sturbridge, Massachusetts. And gonna have a great day. Really awesome day. Having a really nice cup of coffee, and all is well. Christmas is coming. Jesus is already here. And come on, today's a day to live for God, isn't it? Hey, a few practical things. If you are in New England, we'll be having a couple of Christmas services, one in Connecticut Saturday in the city of Norwalk, 5 p.m. this coming Saturday, December 20th. Sunday 21st, we'll be here in Sturbridge Worship Center at 10 a.m. And we'd love to see you if you can make it. I do have a new book out. I keep mentioning this, my only sleazy ad, but really encourage you to get a copy. It's available as a paperback or Kindle from Amazon. I'm going to be teaching for this for the rest of the month, and really excited about this. A lot of what this book is about is actually trying to help people. Actually, people who get sick and get healed and get sick and get healed and get sick and get healed. I used to spend all of my time trying to get things from God. And it felt like I'd spend more time trying to get something from God than I would enjoying the thing I got from God. I had that experience with sickness where I'd believe, eventually get healed or come through it and go, great. And then something else would happen. Or with financial need where I would be... It's like I was always in a battle and never in a rest. And this truth I'm sharing here today really changed my perspective on this. Come on, let me say something radical to you today. But do you know Jesus never got sick? Now maybe he was attacked by sickness and disease. I'm pretty certain he was. The Bible obviously doesn't say that. But he was tempted in all ways as we are. Jesus never caught what people had. People caught what he had. In the Old Testament, if a leper touched you, you would become unclean. When a leper touched Jesus, the leper became clean. More on that one in a moment. So it's really important we understand this life of God. Other quick things as well. Hey, I'm revamping my email newsletter at the moment, and if you're not getting my probably twice a week emails at the moment, really encourage you to do that. There's a sign up link below, and we have a free gift for everybody who signs up for those. And lastly, there's lots of other things going on, but lastly, big thanks to all of my partners, friends of my ministry. We love you. We appreciate your faithfulness, your koinonia, your fellowship in the gospel. Thank you for that. And actually, one more thing. But the new thing I'm doing right now is putting out my sermon notes. Every time I do a video or preach a sermon, I've decided I'm just going to put my own personal notes out in public with scripture references, quotes, all these kind of things. So if that interests you, again, sign up for my email newsletter, or you'll often find them on my blog, on my website, or Substack. Good. So let's talk some more about the life of Jesus. I think we haven't thought much about life. I said this in the book at an earlier point, but it's actually really hard to define what life is. We know life. Forgive the analogy. It's not a great one, but the Supreme Court of America was once asked to define what pornography was. And they came up with this definition. They basically said, it's really hard to define, but everybody knows it when they see it. And the point being, life is like that. Everybody knows, you know, instinctively what life is. If I held imagine I held a mouse, don't freak out, in my hand right now, and a rock in my other hand. We're all going to know one is alive and one isn't. Motion, respiratory system, the ability to reproduce, cellular life comes from God. And there is nothing, I think there is no life apart from God. And at times there's a con trick that is pulled on young people in colleges or universities that claims we understand the origins of life. We don't. We have no clue whatsoever. I encourage you to, you know, look into that if you doubt that in any way. But we have no understanding whatsoever. In fact, the more understanding scientifically we get, the more we understand how little we understand. There was a time about 50 years ago that life was thought to be basically simple. You know, we talk about some primordial soup, this little pool with all these chemicals that just happened to be there, and maybe at the right time a comet hit or lightning struck it and boom, life, simple cellular life was born. The problem is no life is simple. Life is incredibly complex, and whenever we think we've understood its complexity, our further knowledge, science and education only unveils a massive another level of complexity. I mean, can you imagine maybe 5,000 years ago somebody thinking, okay, what we see in the sky, that's the whole universe, it's so big. Right now we're beginning to understand, we've got no conception of how big the universe is. And in that same way, I think we as believers have received the life of God. Hallelujah. And I be honest with you, I don't think we can ever completely understand in this life what it means to receive life. And yet, in spite of that, God wants us to experience that life. You don't have to understand something to fully experience it. In Him was life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, because I live, you will be alive. You will be filled with Zoe also. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. And right now, the same life, the Zoe, the eternal life that is in Jesus, I have been yoked with in the Spirit, and I have that same life in me right now. Now, question. You could legitimately say, well, all of that sounds great. Maybe it sounds biblical. Maybe it sounds correct. But why are we not then experiencing that life? Well, firstly, there are several good answers to that. Firstly, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you're not taught about that, if you're simply taught some evangelical gospel that says one day after you die, you will receive the life of God, then that's that very poor teaching, that lack of biblical knowledge becomes a ceiling to what you will experience. You will and have, in effect, limited the Holy One of Israel, Selah. So we need the knowledge of God. And then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I think if you look at this, you know, even broadly over the course of the body of Christ has never clearly been able to step into easily with facility something that the church has not taught. When for nearly 1,000 years the church had this mishmash of superstition and religion, really after the, you know, round about, you know, the conversion of Constantine. When Constantine became a Christian, around about 350, 352 AD, the Bible was already, the New Testament was translated in about 50 languages. About 50 to 80 years later, all of those translations began to die out, and it was only translated into Latin. And for nearly 1,000 years, the Bible was locked away in monasteries. It was only very few people who could access the Word of God. And all of these traditions and superstitions came into the church. And that's why we call it the Dark Ages. Why? Because the entrance of His Word gives light and life. So it is vital we have teaching about this. When the church began to teach that you can be declared righteous by faith, people began to step into that experience. When the church began teaching the truth that God is still a healer, people began to get healed. When the church began teaching the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, guess what? People were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Duh.
And if the church will teach on the supernatural life of God, we will experience that life. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'll end with this. But years ago, I was preaching in India, and doing crusades in the evening, but during the daytime I was staying with a pastor who had a small Bible school that would meet in his church, like parsonage and home. They had a little building at the side, about 30 students. And one morning I'm teaching away in this Bible school student, I think I was teaching on the book of James, just remember that for some reason. And as I'm teaching, I'm kind of facing the front door of the building, and all the students are facing me, the pastor's there, his wife, some of his team there, I'm teaching away. And as I'm teaching, there's a knock on the door. And, you know, I carried on teaching. A few people look around, but most of them gave me their attention quickly. The pastor's wife went to the door, and there was a beggar at the door. And I'm talking, but half of my mind is watching this scene play out. And the lady kind of let out a yell of horror and shock, and she sort of shooed this beggar away, like, get away. I mean, I don't speak the language, but it was obvious what she was saying. She, you know, telling this beggar to get away. And again, I'm watching this teach, and I know this is a godly woman, a gracious woman, a woman of compassion. I'm trying to understand why she would be so rude with this beggar. And then I saw her close the door, come back in, you know, maybe disappear into the kitchen. And then she came out with some money, opened the door, and she threw money into the yard. And I'm looking now through the window, and I'm teaching. I can see this beggar on all fours in the front garden, a front yard of this property, collecting coins that the lady had thrown out. And I'm really, why would you do that? And at that point, the pastor in charge decided to have a coffee tea break. It's India, a tea break. Everybody went off, you know. And the pastor came to me and he explained what had happened. He said, hey, we don't want to be rude or ungracious with that man at the door, but he was a leper. My wife saw he was a leper. And he said, you don't allow lepers in your home here. Now, I don't want to get into medical science and whether leprosy is contagious and all those kind of things, but it doesn't matter. The fear of leprosy is just as contagious as leprosy. So as the pastor's explaining, oh, that guy's a leper. Now, again, I'm British. I've never met a leper. We don't tend to have a lot of leprosy in Europe. And I'm looking, and this guy's still in the garden. So in the end, I reach into my bag. I pull something like $5 or $10. Not a massive amount of money, but I know it would bless the guy. I went out, and I called the guy over, and I tried to speak English, French. He didn't understand a word I said. I couldn't understand his language. So I sort of put this money in his pocket and was, you know, tapped him on the shoulder. Hey, God bless you. And I suddenly felt the love of God well up in me for the man. And I can't explain why, but I took this guy in my arms and began hugging him. And I don't mean like, bless you, my brother. I mean, I really hugged him. And he was a bit shorter than me. He had his head on my lower shoulders or chest area. The guy began sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And as he sobbed, it suddenly hit me. The love of God was touching him, but all of the rejection. Can you imagine if everywhere you go, people went, ooh, shooed you away, pulled their kids onto the other side of the road. Years of rejection. I ended up hugging this man for about, I don't know, felt like about 5 minutes, maybe less. Didn't pray for him, couldn't really feel I could do anything. I just loved on him and hugged him. And in the end, he composed himself, went away. I went back in. I washed my hands. I remember that. Forgot all about it till about 3 days later when he came back completely healed with a medical certificate stating that he was now healed. And I'll never forget being really happy for him, but then going upstairs to the room I was staying in and saying, Lord, what went on there? I missed something here. And the Lord said to me what I said to you earlier, you were not afraid of catching what he had, so he caught what you had. Greater is he that is in you than the leprosy that was in him. And I suddenly realized the amazing power of the life of Jesus. Jesus went about preaching life, resurrection life. He came not to improve or patch up or give us good teaching, productivity methods, start a YouTube channel, but he came that we might have life, Zoe, and Zoe more abundantly. And I tell you, that life is in you right now. How do you experience it? Just begin to thank God for it. You already have it. You don't need to get it. In fact, when you try to get what you already have, you begin to lose the experience of what you have. But begin to thank God right now that you have overflowing life. Selah. Hey guys, I encourage you to grab a copy of Le Book. Know it will bless you. And I couldn't think of a better Christmas gift to give to somebody else. Bless you. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you in the comments. And I'll be back tomorrow with another video. Bye for now.